Today I am joined by Andy Riley from Oakington Garden Centre. Hi Andy, welcome to Cambridge 105.
Good afternoon, thank you for having me.
It's great that you're here. I'm really keen to have a gardening expert on the show because I'm keen, but actually have no idea what I'm doing. So I might be asking you really simple questions, but that's because I'm kind of starting from scratch. So I know that you're very experienced in what you do. Talk me through, I mean, you're actually called a plantarian, is that correct?
I'm a plantarian assistant at Oakington Garden Centre. Basically just means I'm a sales assistant at Oakington. I've been in horticulture all my working life. Started off on an apprenticeship at the University of Botanic Gardens in Cambridge. I'm a Cambridge lad, and that was sort of a natural start for me. And then went off to college after that, and then started working. The first half of my working life was all working in various different nurseries, growing plants. And then took a bit of a sea change when I had to make a move and a job change, and then went into retail.
So you started in the Botanic Gardens. That must be quite somewhere to start. What made you want to do this for a living?
To be perfectly honest, I dropped into it by accident. When I was at school, I really wanted to go and work in the laboratories at Angling Water. And unfortunately, didn't get the right exam results first time round, and was looking for something to do as a fill-in. And one of my friends was lucky enough to get an apprenticeship at the gardens and said they had a space going. And that was it, and never looked back from there, really. So
let's talk about the weather, first of all, Andy, because I've been moaning about the rain. But actually, as a gardener, we need it, obviously.
We've had some really useful rain this last week, and we desperately needed it. I mean, we've been hovering on drought conditions for most of the summer. With what's to come this week as well, hopefully that will see us through most of the rest of the summer without too many problems. But yes, it does get difficult for everybody involved when the rain falls short.
So Oakington Garden Centre, do they have water butts? Do they collect the rainwater and use the rainwater?
Because of the amount of water we use, the scale of water we need, we have use a main system with tank and then pumped irrigation. We do a lot of hand watering as well, because that way you can get the watering absolutely spot on to the plant's requirements. So.
Is it better to water plants? I know you mustn't sort of, you must do it obviously so it gets down to the root as opposed to just being splashed on the leaves or, you know, generally willy-nilly. Just, you know, you should do it carefully, as you said.
Yeah. No, what you're looking to do is always supply the root zone of a plant, whether it be in a pot or underground, with a really good drink. A really good long drink is far better than lots of tiny little ones where, especially when it's hot, the water just evaporates and it never gets to the roots.
Okay, so let's start from the beginning, because I'm one of these people that loves to watch Chelsea Flower Show, Hampton Court Palace. I mean, do you watch things like that on TV? Do you watch any gardening shows?
I try to catch a little bit of the shows. The coverage does tend to be a bit saturation these days. And I try to get to one of the big shows every two or three years. Hampton Court is my favourite. It's a little bit more relaxed. And you could also do it as an evening ticket as well, which makes it much more affordable. You can go in at, I think it's about 3:30 and be in there till 7:30 for virtually half the cost and miss all of the crowds, which is perfect, really.
Yeah. So when you go, what are you looking at? Are you just enjoying it? Are you kind of looking at specific plants and thinking what you can do with them?
It's trends and colours, I think, as much as anything else, sort of new trends in gardening. And certainly, you know, every year there seems to be a colour that takes the fall. So you're looking at that. By the time that comes along, it doesn't really impact on what we sell in the centre, because obviously we're booking stock a lot earlier than that anyway.
Yeah. What were the colours this year then?
Purples seem to have been very popular this year, yeah.
And when you... your own garden. Let's talk about your garden at home. I mean, are you lucky enough to have a garden?
I have a tiny postage stamp, very small garden. I haven't had a large garden for some time, but I'd love to get back to having a proper sized garden, I must admit.
I'm quite lucky. So I grew up in Oakington, funny enough, so I know the garden centre quite well. But I, where I live now, there's some beautiful gardens around. There's sort of quite a lot of country sort of cottage, very chocolate box. And the gardens, those gardens appeal to me. The kind of wild, flowery, very beautiful summer traditional British garden, I guess. But when you've got a garden, like you say, that is smaller, like yours is, you can still get a lot into it. You can still plant and paint walls and make it look interesting.
Oh, there's huge amounts you can do. There's very few plants you can't grow in containers of some form or another. So even if you haven't got any sort of bare soil to play with and is, you know, just literally a slab backyard, you can put loads of colour into that. And as you say, you can play with the colour of the environment. There's a really good range of fence preservatives, different colours, masonry paints and all this sort of thing. So you can really bring a vibrancy to even the smallest area.
And so do you have pots yourself or hanging baskets or...
Yeah,
window boxes.
Yeah, I usually do quite a few pots and a few hanging baskets. Didn't do so many this year because we were away for a 2 weeks holiday and I had no one to look after them this year, which is always the problem when you go away on holiday. But yes, usually do quite a few containers. I've got a respectable lawn, I think it's worth saying. So, and yeah, just a few herbaceous plants to bring in a bit of colour.
Well, it's great, Andy, and we're going to carry on talking to you after a little travel update and the ads and a song, because it's good to get to know our Cambridge 105 resident garden expert, Andy Riley, who will be staying with us for a bit longer. Let's just see what's happening out on the... Andy, you were saying that you need to know the basic principles of gardening to start. Do you, you know, fashions obviously come and go and change, but it's the soil quality that's really important to start with, the basics?
Yeah, it's... If you're gardening, you do need to know your soil. Basically, you need to know what you're dealing with, how you can improve it, and basically that will dictate what you can grow successfully. A lot of people get very focused on acid and alkaline soils and where it does come into play with some plants. Generally speaking, it's not as important as the general fertility and particularly the drainage of soils. A lot of our local soils tend to be very heavy clays and therefore don't drain well and don't have good aeration within the soil. And 9 times out of 10, that's what we're talking to our customers about doing is you know, just improving the soil.
So how do you do that? You can obviously put compost on or nutrients, or, I don't know, fish food. What do you use? Yeah. And do you dig?
For the structure of soil, it's very important to cultivate. And while you're cultivating, to incorporate some organic matter, be that your own compost, which is marvellous stuff and of course is a wonderful way of recycling your household bits and pieces. If you're lucky enough to get hold of some leaf mould, which is basically rotted down leaves, I mean they work beautifully. And even good old-fashioned manure, whether it be a bag product or something you get from the local stables, as long as it's well rotted, all of these things will help improve the amount of air that's in the soil. They'll help break up a heavy soil. They'll by degrees improve drainage, but also improve water retention when it gets really dry in the summer.
So would you suggest doing this to your soil? Obviously you want to do it, so what months would you be doing that all through the year?
The best time really is to do this through the autumn. And if you're not at the stage where you can do heavy digging, if you're putting mulches of these products in the autumn, the worms will do half the work for you and sort of pull it down through the winter and get it down to the root zone. So, you know, don't worry if you're not capable of doing heavy digging, you know, that this is still a really worthwhile thing to do.
So I've emptied my beds completely. I want to start again because there was all sort of weird and wonderful things there from previous, obviously, owners of the house. So what do you suggest? If you have an empty bed, where do you go? Do you go height at the back and then forward? I mean, obviously, you want to fill it with plants that you love. But when you go to the garden centre and you're reading the little tickets and they're saying, well, this like shade, this likes light, and you know, you really, someone like me is guessing. What do you do?
The first thing probably is to choose 2 or 3 shrubs that will form a backbone, a structure to your bed, and typically these will either occupy the middle of the bed or towards the back. Try and choose things that will give you a nice long display, maybe some evergreens, which will give you all year round interest, and then you can start working your way forwards, using mixtures of smaller shrubs or herbaceous perennials, which are marvellous for summer colour and will go from one year to the other. They'll die down during the winter and then come back the next spring and give you a really good display.
Because this is what I love. I love if you've got something all during the year. If you've got something coming and then going and then, you know, something else, that's the ideal really, isn't it? So there's always something to look at in the garden.
You should really be able to achieve something in flower in your garden probably from late January through till, well, nearly the full year, to be honest, if you choose your plants carefully.
And what about wildlife? Should we be encouraging bees and birds and things like that to the garden?
Oh, most certainly, yeah. birds in particular will do a wonderful job at taking away some of the pests. So it's a really good thing to encourage the birds. You know, I have a quite an extensive bird table at home, and even though it's a small garden, it's amazing what you can attract into your garden just by sort of regular feeding. And certainly when it comes to bees, there are lots and lots of plants that bees really love. And they are so important in the general landscape and the job they do in terms of pollination of fruit and this sort of thing. And they're having a tough time of it, bees. So anything you can do to encourage them into your garden, you know, is well worthwhile.
I'm quite lucky. I've got some damson trees actually in my garden. They produce a lot of fruit. There's not a lot you can do with damsons other than a bit of gin and jam. And but yeah, I mean, obviously we are quite lucky, I think, around Cambridge that we do have a lot of nice plants and nice trees and nice gardens, and you can wander around and people do open gardens, and it's lovely to get ideas from other people, isn't it, and just see what works and what doesn't.
Yeah, the open garden scheme is in full swing at the moment, and it's a really good way of seeing lots and lots of different gardens in a small area, because most towns and villages will do it on the same day and open up, I know, a dozen or so little gardens. And yeah, it's a real treat to have a wander around even the smallest of gardens, because you'll always come up with something new that you haven't seen before.
Now lawns are a big deal to us, aren't they? We love a lovely lawn. I know it does take a lot of work to have a lovely lawn though, because it's not something that grass, it can easily, I mean, dandelions, I've got millions of dandelions in my grass now. I need to sort it out. But there's, is it just regular cutting?
No, there's a little bit more to it than that to achieve your perfect lawn. Again, in our area, it comes down to trying to improve aeration, because with poor aeration is when you get moss, and that's the, you know, the real bane of a lot of people's lives when they're looking at lawns. And it's learning how to adapt to the conditions as well. Yeah, a couple of weeks ago, I would have said be very careful about cutting your lawns with it being so hot, because it's very easy to do damage by cutting very short during hot weather. Not so much now, because we've got obviously we've had a good amount of rain and the grass will start growing again. But there's different seasonalities to looking after a lawn as you go through the year. Different things to look out for at different times, and it does involve a little bit of work. There's no getting away from that, I'm afraid.
So what should we be thinking about towards the end of summer? What should we be doing in our gardens?
Well, the end of summer, are we talking sort of lawns or just general gardens?
Well, let's do lawns first,
yeah,
and then
lawns. This time of year, you're beginning to cut less anyway. The grass generally slows down at this time of year because of the hotter weather, and also because it's naturally trying to flower, which slows down growth rates anyway. One thing that's worth mentioning is weed killing is often not as effective at this time of year, because the weeds are not actively growing. And if you have a weed problem in your garden, I would suggest using some weed killer till a little bit later, till mid-September, when the moisture levels are up again and the weeds are really actively growing, because that's the best time to try and tackle them.
And what about in the garden? Obviously deadhead those roses. What else can we do?
Deadheading everything is really important.
Really?
From your bedding plants through to herbaceous plants. The science behind it, if you like, is a plant flowers in trying to reproduce and produce seed. Once it's flowered, the chemicals within the plant naturally assume that it's job done and it doesn't need to produce too many more flowers. So if you can take the dead flowers off early, you're tricking the plant into some respects thinking that it hasn't done the job and that it needs to produce more flowers. And it will always have results if you deadhead regularly on a whole range of different plants.
And what are your favourite plants? Talk us through some of your favourites.
I do like herbaceous perennials, if only because the just sheer volume of colour and shape and form they can give. I love heucheras in particular. They're a little plant absolutely fantastic in pots or for filling in borders, and most of them are evergreen, so they'll give you a display through the winter as well as the summer. And they come in a fabulous range of colours, leaf colours. And then on top of that, you get really nice flowers, coral pinks, whites, creams. And they're very adaptable. They're just perfect for even the small garden.
Well, Andy, it's been lovely talking to you today, and I'm delighted to say that you're going to come back to Cambridge 105 around autumn time, and we can talk more about gardens and what we should be doing, and I'm going to learn lots, I'm sure. Thank you so much again. I'm going to leave us with a song now. This is Green Garden by Laura Mervu. So thanks, Andy. Thanks very much for coming in, and we'll see you again soon.
Okay, my pleasure.